I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moonin, you all right? Cheers. Oh, piping hot cup of tea. Fresh out of the kettle, piping hot. Got my backup water here if needs be. How are you this morning? All good, I hope? Fighting fit? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? Rocking and rearing for the day ahead? I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you? Good morning, sir.
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good, good. It has just ticked past 1 minute past eight in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, 26th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. It's already nearly March. How about that? It's gone quick, hasn't it? It's gone super quick. I was just talking to Harry earlier on about how quick time goes. He's young still, and he was saying how quick time goes. I was saying, wait till you get older. Whole years just ticked by. When Trump got in 2016, feels like 1 year ago. Like knocking 10 years ago, isn't it? I wonder if that continues into your 60s and 70s and 80s. Whole decades tick by. I guess it does. I don't know. All right. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in. Without you, it really isn't a thing. Should we just dive straight in? Today's the big day, isn't it? It's Matt Goodwin's big day. Gorton and Denton, the big by-election day. Could spell the end of Keir Starmer's political career. I don't think it will. I think they'll lose. I think Labour will lose. All the polls seem to say they're going to lose. Maybe even come third, Labour. Whether that will immediately result in Keir Starmer's resignation, I suspect not. It might do, though. By Monday morning, we might have a new Prime Minister, or David Lammy acting as some sort of interim Prime Minister. I don't know, but I suspect not. I still suspect Starmer will stay till May and then get ousted. But OK, should we jump straight in? What is the corporate mainstream, legacy mainstream media are lying to you about this morning, at least by omission? Are they trying to beam straight into your eyeballs and brain box? The disgusting British print media. All right, here's the front pages then. It's the Met exposed Hoyle. That's the Speaker of the House of Commons, Sir Lindsay Hoyle. It's a man, his name's Lindsay, but it's a man. The Met exposed him. We'll get into what that really means in a minute. And Iran tempts Trump. They're trying to make a deal with the Iranians. We'll get into that as well. But here's a little disclaimer the BBC put. I thought was comical. It says, because it's the day of it's polling day in that by-election. The BBC News observes strict reporting restrictions on polling day when elections are held in the UK. We have omitted or cropped some of Thursday's front pages in connection with the Gorton and Denton by-election. The BBC pretending they're not biased. Don't make me laugh. Pretending that they're not literally and exactly a propaganda organ for the establishment, for the blob. Yeah. No one really buys that. Auntie is an evil witch. For any foreign people who don't know, sometimes British people used to, anyway, call the BBC Auntie, like it's a kindly member of your family. She's an evil witch, globalist, crazy old lady. That's what the BBC is. Trying to pretend that they're unbiased. Give me a break. They've always been lefty, always. Always. Since the beginning. Constantly platform socialists and communists wouldn't dream of ever having a nationalist on, ever. The idea that Milquetoast Sivnat Tommy Robinson would get on the BBC. No, not even that. Not even that. They had Nick Griffin on once just to endlessly berate him. And yet we'll constantly have socialists and communists and Marxists on. That's the BBC. Oh, but we've got strict restrictions on them. We can't report. Nonsense. The BBC is filth. If I was Prime Minister or King or Lord Protector, I would immediately revoke, or if I had to pass an Act of Parliament, I would revoke the Royal Charter of the BBC and let it survive on its own. And it probably wouldn't, would it? And if it died, if it collapsed, so be it. The BBC. A real conversation needs to be had about Auntie. Your evil auntie sitting in the corner of your living room, spewing filth, anti-British propaganda into your living room every single day. Filth. All right. The Daily Telegraph. Doubling cash for NHS had no impact. Weird, isn't it? That's weird. That sort of suggests that the entire structure is a failure, doesn't it? That sort of suggests that the whole thing profoundly doesn't work properly, doesn't it? Ex-Tory minister admits handing an extra £100 billion to health service was a waste. How is that even possible? Because at the conceptual level, the NHS is broken, isn't it? To have free healthcare for everyone at the point of entry, regardless if you just came over on a boat. Open borders and free healthcare for all. That those numbers don't add up, do they? They won't add up. That's how you bankrupt a country. When you look at how much the state spends on the NHS, it's insane. It's insane. And for those people out there, say, oh, you'd rather have an American system, would you? No, there's lots of different types. There's dozens and dozens of different types of model a country, a state could have for its healthcare. The one we've got currently does not work and will bankrupt us, is bankrupting us. And it doesn't work. It's not very good. The NHS isn't very good. For all the money that gets pumped into it, it's still a poor service. Well, you can pump another £100 billion into it and it doesn't make any difference. What madness. What absolute madness. All right. Met exposed Hoyle, a source of Mandelson tips. So this is the story about Sir Lindsay. Is that where the police swooped on Mandy the other day, didn't they? And they said he was a flight risk. He might just flee to the British Virgin Isles, and Mandy, Mandy's lawyers came out and said, that was completely baseless. Where did the police even get that? That's crazy. I wouldn't dream of fleeing the country. They apparently accidentally let it slip that they got that tip off from none other than Sir Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker of the House of Commons. Got a few questions. If that's true, like, first of all, is that even true? But, right, let's say it is. Where exactly did Lindsay Hall get that information from? Is there some sort of 4D chess going on that Mandy fed it to him in some way? I don't know. Or who fed it to him? Why did he go directly to the police to tell them that if it was just a rumour? If it is baseless, according to Mandelson, it's baseless. So, and then why or how did the police... Well, we know how, but why exactly did they fail to keep that source secret? It's just sort of an odd set of events. Anyway, I don't like Lindsay Hall anyway. I wrote an article for Lotus Eaters, lotuseaters.com. Do consider going over to the website, becoming a member of the website for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. Get hundreds of hours of content behind the paywall. I don't like Hoyle anyway. He's a lefty. Trying to pretend he's not. Again, like the BBC, trying to pretend he's completely impartial. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's some northern lefty with a chip on his shoulder. Don't like him. don't like him. He doesn't act in an impartial way. That's all you've got to do as speaker, is to be impartial. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, to be perfectly honest. It is actually a difficult thing to do. Nonetheless, that's your job. Ugh, Lindsay Hoyle, give me a break. Again, the type of person I would not want in Parliament at all, let alone as the speaker. All right. Alignment with EU, quote, is where the magic happens, quote, says Minister. Shut up. You're talking about, oh, by magic you mean being demographically replaced in your own ancestral homeland, is that what you mean? By magic you mean having our economy destroyed, is that what you mean? Yeah, the EU is where the magic happens. Black magic, dark magic. The Daily Mail desperately pretending day after day it's not complete slop when it is. You scratch the surface, it's absolute globalist slop. All right, what have we got here? A picture of Meghan Markle, of course, why not? Police probe descends into farce, says you, as officers reveal Commons Speaker was source of tip-off that Mandelson planned to flee to the Virgin Isles, raising tantalising questions. Is Prince of Darkness, Mandelson, up to his old spin tricks? Yeah, what kind of spin is going on there? How does that make sense? None of that is really in Mandelson's interest, though, is it? So, what spin tricks? I mean, the Mail. The whole Mail group. Revolting. All right, the Times, the venerable Times. NHS incentivised to wrongly record babies' deaths as stillborn. That's mad. That's mad. There's a few stories, headlines in the news today about the NHS. A report came out, I guess yesterday it would have been, where all about maternity care in the NHS. And there's just loads and loads and loads of failings. That's the tip of the iceberg. That the care, the service offered was so bad that the baby and or the mum was terribly wounded or died. And they just cover it up. Oh yeah, look, incentivised to wrongly recall baby's death as stillborn. You think of anything more? Well, there are things worse than that, but that is absolutely abominable, isn't it? Absolutely despicable. That's crazy. Yeah, it does seem that maternity care on the NHS is not up to snuff. It's not up to scratch, is it? It just isn't. And yet, we're bankrupting the country to pay for these things. No wonder people who've got any money will just unashamedly use private healthcare. Why not? Why not? Why would you go to the NHS and take the very high risk of being treated poorly by people that don't really know what they're doing? Some Congolese or NHS nurse who came over, who's not a very good nurse, barely a nurse. Some Bangladeshi doctor who screws up the operation. Why would you want that if you don't have to, if you could afford not to? The NHS, crazy. Crazy, crazy thing. It may have made some sense, well, not even really, but it maybe made some sense in the late 1940s when it came in. Or the 50s, or the 60s, when our population was a reasonable size. But not now. They flood it with subpar nurses and doctors. And tell you that's better. It's better that way. It should be that way. No. All right, the Times also says that Epstein used UK as hub to traffic scores of women. Great, brilliant. Police investigating up to 60 private flights. Story was that Epstein would fly to Britain one way or another, loads, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Often to fly in or out women. Not all for Prince Andrew. Such a wrong one, wasn't he, Jeffrey Epstein? Still, no mention of his handlers again. No mention whatsoever. You know, Don't mention Leslie Wexner. Don't mention Larry Summers. Yeah. Don't mention the fifth Baron Rothschild. After the deluge, here comes hay fever season. That's front page, is it? That spring is going to happen. If you suffer from hay fever, it's probably going to flare up. That's front page. Okay. The Eye paper. God, Tracy Emin's looking rough as chuff, isn't she? I hate Tracy Emin. Everything that's wrong with art. The art world embodied by Tracy Emin. No skill whatsoever. Zero skill. But she's an artist, is she? Is she? Emperor's New Clothes. Tracy Emin. All right. Reeves, Rachel Thieves. Rachel from Accounts. The HR lady that's now calling herself the Chancellor of the Exchequer somehow. The insane pick for the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel, says Andrew must pay back any misused taxpayer money. Fair enough. Police believed there was real risk Mandelson would leave country ahead of arrest as Met apologises to Speaker over tip-off blunder. The Chancellor says Saxe Coburg Gotha, Andrew, should reimburse the public purse if he is found to have misused funds amid allegations of profligate spending. Civil servants have alleged that Andrew charged taxpayers for massages and excessive travel costs while working unpaid as Britain's trade envoy. Yeah, they just paid for him to have a one long endless jolly around the world. And we'll call it a trade envoy. We'll call you a trade envoy. And then we'll just pay for you to go around the world living the high life. Yeah, that's what that was. Even at the time, I remember all this at the time. I was already an adult. I was already grown. It wasn't that long ago, right? I remember at the time when he was given that role, people were like, really? You're going to give like this gravy train to Andrew? Someone who doesn't really deserve it, who's already extremely affluent, couldn't be more privileged. You're going to give him that sort of crazy gravy train of a thing. Right. The former prince was released under investigation by police last week on suspicion of misconduct in public office relating to his links to Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. All right, what have we got here? The Guardian. The cotton-picking Guardian. So revolting. They go with an era-defining artist, Tracy Emin. She's not. She's a joke, a bad joke. Right, that sort of art is a practical joke on those people that take it seriously. You're the butt of the joke. If you take Tracy Emin's art seriously and think it's got any value or merit whatsoever, the joke's on you. An era-defining artist, yeah. An era of bad parody, then, okay. An era of absurdity. Yeah, she defines that, all right. The Guardian, damning report exposes scandal of NHS maternity unit cover-ups. Covering up the deaths of babies. Evil, isn't it? That, again, I reserve the word evil for things that I think is truly evil. I don't go around just throwing that word out nearly willy-nilly. Right. I wouldn't call someone like Andrew Rosendale evil. Right. I wouldn't even call someone like Owen Jones evil. They're misguided, wrong-headed. I strongly dislike them. I wouldn't call them evil. That's evil. But that's evil, isn't it? An organisation that's charged with health and protection. Responsible for the deaths of babies and then cover it up. Something's profoundly broken, isn't it, there? All right. Met's apology for revealing Hoyle was tip-off source. Okay. Nobel Prize for fiction. This is the Guardian for you. Trump's State of the Union. Nobel Prize for fiction. Democrats condemn Trump's State of the Union address. Well, of course they do. Their minds have been entirely corrupted by TDS. As has The Guardian. Trump derangements. They can't stand a wasp, a white guy who's got his own mind to stand up for himself unapologetically for his nation and his people. Can't stand it, can they? They can't stand it. It's rotted their mind. It's funny. TDS is funny at this point to me. It really is. Sorry, probably a bit of an audible slurp there. I do try to keep it to a minimum. Even though 65% of you said you didn't mind. But on behalf of the other 35%, I do try to keep audible slurps to a minimum. Usually. I'm only mucking about, calm down. Nuclear deal in reach, says Iran, as talks begin. So there's going to be another round of talks between the US and Iran in Geneva, Switzerland. Big part of it is that apparently Iran are saying, let's do a deal now. Like, we'll offer you, the United States, all sorts of deals on oil and natural resources. I think, because the details are still just sort of coming out, they're still sort of a bit sketchy. Even the professional journalists don't know everything that Iran's about to put on the table. But I think the deal will still be that we, Iran, are not going to give up our uranium enrichment program, though, still. I think that's it. I might be wrong about that. We'll find out in the next few days, won't we? Or early next week. And that's the sticking point, isn't it? That's the sticking point that Israel and Bibi and the State Department and Trump. That's the whole point of it, though, isn't it? They talk, kind of, you know, they talk about the protests, the recent protests, and apparently, seemingly thousands, perhaps low tens of thousands of people were killed by the regime in these protests last month. But it's the nuclear element of it. I mean, Trump said in the State of the Union, and what he's always said, we will not let them get a nuke. It can't happen, sort of a thing. So if Iran are still saying that's not part of the negotiations, let's do a deal, let's talk about oil and things, but we're going to still try and enrich uranium to a weapons-grade level, pretending it's not to a weapons-grade level, but can they be believed? All right, well, whether right or wrong, that's Israel and the United States line in the sand, isn't it? They won't let them have that, won't let them do that. So we'll see if the talks go anywhere. Once again, just to reiterate, I'm not particularly hawkish on bombing Iran back to the Stone Age. Again, if I could change that regime with the click of a finger, I would. If I could just press a button and Iran became like a democracy with a fully functioning civil society and everything, I wouldn't just press the button, I would mash it. Nonetheless, I do fear that if the regime is removed by force by a weeks-long bombing campaign, bouncing rubble, that Iran might descend into a sectarian, religious and tribal nightmare like Iraq in 2003. Don't want that. Obviously, who does? Well, Bibi probably would. It's been his dream, isn't it? It's always been his dream to remove that regime in Iran, regardless. Always. Well, they have in the past said things like they would destroy Israel if they could. They would push it into the sea. I mean, if we had a neighbour, let's just say completely hypothetically, let's just say Sweden, over many years, has said they would destroy England if they could. As soon as they would got a nuke, they would use it. They would roll up England and push it into the Atlantic Ocean if they could. Then I would have animosity towards Sweden then and think it was in my best interest that they didn't get a nuclear weapon. All right, let's move on. The Financial Times. Iran tempts Trump with bonanza, quote, bonanza for US companies in bid to avoid war. Yeah, will the final offer of basically cold hard lucre, will that change the American position at the negotiating table? The last ditch effort? I suspect not, but maybe. Trump does like to make a deal, doesn't he? I suspect not, though, but who knows? Appeal to deal instinct. Oil and gas investments touted Venezuela sets example, clock ticks down. Yeah, the clock is ticking down on, you know, if the Pentagon, Hegseth and Trump going to pull the trigger on fast jet sorties over the skies of Iran, taking out their air defence systems and all their fast jets and missile sites, and then who knows what. The clock's ticking down on that. Microsoft rides Lizzie Line. That's the Elizabeth Line, one of the tube lines in London. There's many, isn't there? The District Line, Central Line, Northern Line, Piccadilly Line, whatever. One of them's called the Elizabeth Line, one of the newer ones. I've never ever heard it called the Lizzie Line in my life, but okay. I mean, I used it myself. I've spent hundreds of hours on the Lizzie Line. I've lived in London for years and years and years. Never heard it ever called the Lizzie Line, but okay. Financial Times are saying, Microsoft rides Lizzie Line to find a new home as London office market tightens. It's just a story that Microsoft wants to open a new headquarters in London. The Lizzie Line. Some journalists had heard that somewhere, somehow, and thought that was cool sounding. That's what people say. No, you're out of touch. No one says that. The Sun, all right. What sloppy joes is the Sun serving up for us this morning? Tourette's storm rages. Fake storm. BAFTA row. John says blame the BBC. Well, yeah. Don't blame him. He couldn't help it. He's got a neurological condition, hasn't he? We actually can't help it. In fact, that's the whole reason why he's famous, why he's got any notoriety, why he was in that room at all, is because of that, isn't it? So, yeah. Why wasn't race slur cut? Serious mistake, says Beeb. I mean, chill out, it's not that bad. A guy with Tourette says something that was socially unacceptable. Yeah, that happens. Calm down. Settle down. You don't always have to crap yourself when confronted with a bit of black fragility. You don't have to, do you? You can just be like, yeah, that's a bit like that's a your problem really, isn't it? Your performative victimhood fragility that somehow, somewhere, someone that wasn't black said the N-word for whatever reason. Yeah. Deal with it. Well, I mean, what? All right. The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good pay. There's more than 600 people crossed the channel. Illegal migrants, criminals. There's more than 600 criminals crossed the channel. MPs call for end of payments to France. Yeah, because we pay them hundreds of millions of pounds. Hundreds of millions. To stop migrants crossing from Calais, and they just don't. Or they do stop a few every now and again. Again, as a performative measure. But basically just let it happen. So shouldn't we stop giving them hundreds of millions of pounds? Because they're just not doing it. What's the point? That is truly a waste, isn't it? That's truly flushing money down the toilet, isn't it? Just say non. Don't reward French for boat's failure. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, right. The weather's been a bit bad because it's winter, isn't it? And so for the last couple of weeks, hardly anyone's crossed the channel in small boats and dinghies. But yesterday was a nice day. It was the nicest day so far this year. And 550-odd, 600 criminals, economic migrants, chancers, unvetted criminals, nearly all men, young men, crossed the channel. 550-odd, 600 invaders. France just let it happen, basically. Oh, and then our border force and the RNLI just ship them straight to shore. Some reports saying that the process before they're allowed to go into the main population of Britain, sent to a hotel somewhere, paid for by the state, is as little as 30 minutes. So entirely unvetted, then. Take their name, and they could give any name. Ask them how old they are, maybe. They give any old age. Often pretend they're underage, when they're clearly not. They say, oh, I'm 15, I'm 16. You look 30, mate. And then that's it. Off to a hotel you go. Off into the general population. Don't know who you are or what you might have done, or what your past is, or anything at all, where you're really from, probably through your documentation in the channel, filmed yourself on the phone laughing about it. Off you go. Off into just a normal town or city, a normal street. Crime rate, especially sexual crime rate, per capita among these people is through the roof. Absolutely insane invasion. The insane invasion. And the government could stop it overnight if they wanted to. Put 4-2 Commando in the channel. End of story. We're towing your little dinghy back at the point of an SA-80 if need be. That would stop it, wouldn't it? All right, the Metro. Ugh. Oh. Horrible. Horrible. The Metro. Pure, seditious, traitorous, globalist, anti-white slop. High rollers. They found a cannabis farm. Huge cannabis factory in town centre casino. Yeah, all right. Don't talk about the demographic replacement, though, whatever you do, Metro. Don't talk about the insane crime rate. Don't talk about the rape of our women on an industrial scale. Don't talk about the impending sectarian nightmare Britain is now facing because of globalist open borders policies. Don't talk about any of that. Talk about some cannabis factory that was found. The Star. This story is probably the silliest slop I've had on the Bow Show so far. So sloppy, so silly, that it is comical to me anyway. Strictly Pete. Okay, so this man here is called Pete. His name's Peter. He's effectively a nobody. I think he was a dancer on Strictly. Yeah, Strictly's Pete Wicks. So he's a dancer on telly. Could you get anything more vapid than that? He worries that gorillas are going to take over the world. That's the front page of the Star. He fears that, Strictly Pete fears apes will take over our planet. Gorillas get on my wicks. I mean, so this is a person whose grasp of reality is extremely tenuous. Is that a fair thing to say? That's a diplomatic way of putting it, isn't it? That his grasp of reality is not all that strong. He came out with, frankly, an insane take. Some vapid nobody comes out with an insane take. Front page of the Star. Front page. Whack that on the front page. Yes. Can you imagine the editorial team? Oh, you never guess what? Strictly's Pete Wicks reckons gorillas are going to take over the world. The senior editor's like, front page. Boom. Make that the front page. Done. Jokers. Absolute pathetic jokers. All right. Let's have a look at our poll, shall we? What did we say today? Oh, so there's a story later. Didn't make it onto the front pages of any of the papers. But it is on some of the websites. That this one guy, we'll see it in a bit, this one guy, a Lithuanian man, shouldn't have been in the country at all, Lithuanian man, apparently suffering from a mental illness, walked up to a random 9-year-old girl in the street that he didn't know and for no reason stabbed her in the heart and killed her. Just a little 9-year-old girl playing with a hula hoop in the street. Been found guilty of it. It was a slam dunk. He obviously did it. He claimed NASA had put a chip in his head and was telling him to do that. That was his defence. So he couldn't be convicted of murder. It was merely manslaughter. Well, anyway, at least the courts gave him a life sentence with a minimum of 25 years. In Britain, we very rarely give what we call a whole life order. In America, that's life without parole, isn't it? That we will never ever let you out. We very rarely do that. I mean, there's only a dozen or two dozen people in the whole of the UK that have got whole life orders I would give him one of those. Right. Someone like that can never, should never, ever be allowed out in the public again. Surely not. How could you ever trust them to not behave in a similar way again? How could you? But even better than a whole life order, why should the state pay for them forever? House them and pay for them. I think a crime like that, or that Rudy Capitana dude, whatever his name was, that Southport killer, people like that, Ian Huntley, whatever, they should be executed. I'm pro the death penalty. I think there's certain crimes where you should forfeit your life. I don't buy the moral argument that it's never, ever right to take a human life. No, I don't buy that. Now, your life should be forfeit for certain things. One of the other arguments against the death penalty is the old argument of, well, isn't it better a guilty person should go free than an innocent person hang? I.e., you might accidentally convict an innocent person and then execute them. And that would be bad, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, okay, I can see that. But in this day and age, with DNA evidence or CCTV evidence, if you're 100% sure, 100% sure of the conviction, then, like this guy, then that argument of why you shouldn't have the death penalty at all doesn't hold water anymore for me. All right, so our poll today, we said, should Britain reinstate the death penalty? It was as simple as that. Me and little Harry, simple as that. Should Britain reinstate the death penalty? Oh, a cool 85% of you agree with me, saying yes. Merely 6% say no, and 10% say maybe. Again, doesn't add up to 101%. All right, whatever. Only 6% say no. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the ass in the way out. Go on, off you get. Get out, you're not welcome here. Don't go. Please don't go. We can make this work, I still love you. I just get scared sometimes, don't go. All right, yeah, no. Yeah, there's the bleeding heart liberal thing that you should never, ever execute anyone. Yeah. Nah, I don't buy it. That guy, he walked up to a 9-year-old girl and stabbed her in the heart. What kind of monster, a monstrous person. Oh, they're suffering from mental illness. Well, even more reason to that they should never, ever walk on this earth anymore. They're a problem. They're like a rabid dog. You've got an insane, brutalised, rabid dog that won't stop attacking people. It's best to put it down. It's best for the dog and it's best for everyone else, isn't it? Anyway, a cool 85% of you agree with me. Yeah, bring it back. It was some wishy-washy champagne socialist libtard thing to get rid of the death penalty. All right, let's have a look at the websites then, shall we? Okay, racism and lack of compassion factors in failing maternity care, report finds. Racism. Brown people most affected. Is it? Is it though? Fear is everywhere, BBC reports from a Mexican city turned into a war zone by a drug cartel feud. Yeah, so there will be fallout from the killing of El Mencho. That story, I read it, talks a bit about the Sinaloa cartel. The Sinaloa cartel and the CJNG were rivals. So if the CJNG is at a low ebb, or it's been weakened, as you can well imagine, the Sinaloa cartel are like, oh, this is our moment. They smell blood in the water. It's the CJNG is a wounded animal right now. Let's take advantage, sort of a thing. And the CJNG themselves striking out, flailing out in all directions as well. So, all right. Not great for Mexico, is it? The poor, average, innocent Mexican person. All right. What else did we have? A mildly interesting story. It says, shot in school uniform, BBC reveals police order that led to Gen Z protest killings in Nepal. Do you remember last year? I think it was only September last year. Nepal overthrew its government. And if reports are to be believed, it looks like it was largely, or in a large part, led by Gen Z, like student types. Yeah, good on them. It was a commie government. It was a crazy commie government that was ripping Nepal apart. But before they were able to actually topple the government, the police, the security services there, did fire into the crowd a few times, sort of fairly indiscriminately. Like they killed, I think, something in the order of 19 of these protesters. One of them, at least, a schoolboy, an actual schoolboy in school uniform, was shot in the back of the head as he was walking away, apparently. Nice. The BBC say they've got evidence that a particular police chief ordered that. All right, here's an interesting story. One of those stories where when it first breaks and you haven't got all the information, you're like, well, I wonder what's really going on there. What's that really about? One of those stories. Look, the headline is, Cuba says it shot dead 4 people on US registered speedboat. That's the sort of thing that piques my interest. I'm like, oh, well, what's that about? It's just an individual incident, but what's that about? Anyway, you read the story. I'll paraphrase it for you. There was 10 people in all, and they were Cuban people, but they were like US resident Cubans, probably what, from Florida, I don't know. And they were like criminal types, apparently. They all had criminal records, or nearly all of them did. They were in a US registered speedboat off the coast of Cuba, and then the Cuban authorities shot them up. 4 of them were killed in that. And that's the story. And Marco Rubio is commented on it, saying, he was saying, oh, we need to look into this. We don't even really know what exactly that was all about, what went on there, what went down there. So it's interesting. It's like, well, my suspicion is that it was espionage, something like that. Well, just because they're actual Cubans and even guys with criminal records doesn't mean they're not being used by the CIA or whoever, whatever. America's got loads of different intelligence services, haven't they? They weren't doing something off the books one way or another. Who knows? Well, they could have just been simply criminals. It could be kind of what it at first blush appears to be. They were just criminals and the Cuban authorities knew they were criminals doing criminal things, and who knows, they might have shot first and the Cuban authorities were just returning fire. I don't know, but interesting though, nonetheless. It's the sort of thing, especially if Rubio comes out straight away and says, why would he comment on it right away if it's just some criminal? It's just some Cuban criminals had a gunfight with Cuban police. Why would Rubio comment on that at all? Why would it even cross his desk? I don't know, we shall see. I also suspect it may well be one of those stories you just never hear from it again. You never hear anything about it ever again, unless you really try. I remember quite a few years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I don't know, a long time ago now. This one time, outside the main CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, it's just a big building with a big car park in Virginia, right? It's not a massive secret where it is, right? Like the big MI6 building in London. Everyone knows the building. It's not a secret. In the crossroads or some sort of intersection right in front of that, someone shot up a car full of CIA guys. Shot them dead. And then you never hear about that again. It was like in the news that day, maybe the next day, maybe in the news cycle for a day or two. And then never hear anything about that ever again. Yep, that's the way the corporate mainstream media operate. Liars by omission, endlessly. An endless exercise in lying by omission, isn't it, really? All right, let's see, what else have we got? We've got the ITV News. More maternity. Look, that's that guy. That Lithuanian man that stabbed that 9-year-old girl in the heart for no reason, for literally and exactly no reason at all. Well, other than that NASA had put a chip in his head and had told him to do it. He should be hung. Hung by the neck until dead. He's forfeited his right to be alive, in my opinion. Like, that's the morally right position to have, in my opinion. Culture Minister welcomes BBC's fast-track investigation into BAFTA racial slur. Investigation? What? A man with Tourette shouted something inappropriate out. There's your investigation. Someone at the BBC maybe should have edited it out and didn't. That's your investigation. A fast-track investigation. Oh no, some black people are being really fragile about the N-word. Oh no, we have to do a fast-track investigation, do you? Or just don't worry about it. Or just get on with your life. Oh, here's a little show that's been in the news for a while, but I meant to mention it in passing for the last few days, but haven't. But here it is right in front of me, so I thought I'd say it. Epstein offered a chance to buy Pentagon and FBI buildings. Not the Pentagon building, that's absurd. It was another building nearby and other FBI-owned buildings. Like, well after his paedophile conviction and everything. And you're trying to tell me that Pam Bondi, even now, doesn't really know if he had any connection to intelligence services one way or another, regardless of what country. Doesn't really know. We're not sure. We've got to look into that. We've got to get back to you on that one. Not sure. Filthy, filthy liars. Pam Bondi. The idea of an attorney general is that they're impartial, that they don't necessarily take any instruction from the president. That's the idea of an attorney general. That therefore the law, 100% straight down the line. Pam Bondi obviously does everything she's told by Trump, doesn't she? Trump says, do this, don't do that. And she's like, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. What's the point of her then? Kash Patel. Dan Bongino, can you tell us if Epstein was an asset one way or another for the US or Israeli intelligence services? Can you let us know that? Oh, you're still looking into it. You're not sure. Still looking into it. We'll get back to you on that one. They think we're stupid, don't they? They think we're little children, mindless little toddlers. We just go, okay then. All right, there's a couple of things on... or was there? A couple of things of interest. I remember looking this morning, there was a couple of things on the Mail. Oh, there we go. This woman, anyone who's foreign who might not know. Well, there's a show on TV called The Great British Bake Off where they get people to bake things. Ages ago, like 10 years ago, this woman won it. Nadia Hussein won it, obviously because of DEI. Let's give a brown person an award and all that middle-class boomers can all clap her. Right? And then ever since then, for the last 10 years, she's just been on TV, got all her own spin-off shows and everything, subverting normal... recipes to like put curry in it or whatever. I'm not even joking. Let's make some muffins. Oh, I'm making cumin and curry muffins. Are you? Okay. And then last year, she was just dropped. The BBC decided to not renew any of her contracts for the multiple shows that she presents or whatever. She first came out and said, oh, it's because I'm Muslim. It's because you're Muslim you were ever on TV in the first place. So what are you talking about? Anyway... The Mail says, the truth about Nadia Hussein's BBC sacking. Bake Off's chef star had waned. Her recipes became tired and she became difficult to work with, say TV insiders. Truth about difficult Nadia. Yeah, I bet she probably was really difficult to work with. The privilege of a DEI hire. Crowbarred onto TV. So virtue signalling, BBC directors and producers can go to dinner parties and say, oh yes, we've got our quota of token brown people on TV. Oh yes. Pass the Chardonnay, darling. We've got our quota of token brown people. Anyway, whose yacht are we going to Saint-Tropez in next year? I mean, poor Nadia, poor Bake Off hijabi lady didn't get her contracts renewed. Oh, well. Right, the by-election. So Keir Starmer is panicking about today's Manchester by-election, which could cost him his job. Could certainly contribute to him losing his job, couldn't it? Nigel Farage says in last-ditch... could cost him his job, says Nigel Farage in last-ditch rallying cry before polls open. So it looks like, from all the polls I looked at, about two days ago, I looked at a website that had a table with a dozen or more polls. And they all showed Reform out in the lead, with Green or Labour second. And in a few of them, Labour third. So at this moment in time, if I had to put a tenner on it, I would say Labour will lose that seat. Whether it's Green or Reform, it looks like it's quite close between Green and Reform. Who will win it? But it's reasonably certain Labour are going to lose it. So there'll just be loads and loads of noise about how Keir Starmer's leadership is done and Labour are done, and because people massively exaggerate any by-election result. So, okay. There's a couple of other things. Look, Meghan kicked a football. Meghan kicked a football. That's news. These celebrities that I'm not interested in. Oh, here we go. A little story about the rise of voodoo murders in Britain. In Britain. Now, there's a couple of thousand of children either terribly maimed or wounded or murdered in Britain every year because of voodoo. Thanks, Runnymede Trust. Thanks, Lisa Nandy. Thanks, Shami Chakrabarty. Cheers for that, Yasmin Alibaba Brown. Yeah, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiracial Britain is far better, isn't it? Yeah. Diversity is a strength. Sure. Sorry, it's our greatest strength, isn't it? Thanks for that, Sadiq Khan. The disturbing evidence that witchcraft is spreading across Britain unchecked. Yeah, immigration is unchecked, yeah. Yeah, we've effectively got open borders. Yeah, there's no cap on migration. So witchcraft is spreading across Britain. 30 years after discovery of horrific voodoo-style murder should have ended it for good. Yeah, that would have been nice, wouldn't it? This little girl murdered because of voodoo. Victoria Kalimbe, tortured to death by her own relatives because they thought she was a witch. And a couple of thousand cases a year, more. Voodoo. And sometimes they'll just find a little kid's torso, dismembered torso in the Thames. Bit dark for breakfast time, isn't it? But there you go. That's multicultural Britain. Great. Ooh, I realise we're getting close to the top of the hour. Shall we whiz through a couple of things? There's a couple of things in the Sun. Keir's fears, yeah. Oh, look, this Afghan dude is in prison. Don't worry about why he's in prison. But he's in prison and he's amassed loads of goodies and food, and he's making a TikTok video about himself. He's got a mobile phone in Britain and an internet connection, apparently, in prison. Deport this scumbag. Millions must go. Aim high, vote low, millions must go. This picture. This was in the news like yesterday as well, but I forgot, I didn't get to it. But when I first saw this picture on Twitter, I just assumed it was a Photoshop and just kept scrolling, didn't think anything more of it. Because it's been known that Stephen Hawking, the physicist, the late physicist, had gone to Epstein Island, Little St. James, had been on the Lolita Express. That was a matter of record. But There are lots of people that visited Epstein in one of his residences or even went to the island who probably weren't involved in sex crime in any way. They were just legit people. Like, that's fair to say, some of them wouldn't necessarily have been mixed up in all the sex crime. And Stephen Hawking, we know, went there. But this is actually a real picture. This is a legit picture. Look, there's another picture of him there. On the release, with... I want to go to the island. Okay. Okay, okay, right, I mean... He looks like he's having a good time, though, doesn't he? Loving it. Loving the attention. He's got, like, what is that, a strawberry daiquiri or something? Who knows? Is that a Bloody Mary? All right. Oh, look, look, Meghan and Kate both... Look, Kate kicked a football one time. A while ago. And now Meghan kicked a football. Pure slop, isn't it? A couple of guys had a fist fight in a car park. Lovely. That's news. This is the guy that will take over from El Mencho, they're saying. Gonzalez. Speedy Gonzalez. What? His surname is Gonzalez. They might call him Speedy. I don't know. All right. Let's hop across the pond. They're talking about Trump and Iran. It's in the post, isn't it? These strikes are in the mail. Unless Iran... just completely capitulate to everything that Jared Kushner tells them to capitulate to. Will they be able to do that? Probably not. All right. We are getting towards the top of the hour already. Shall we have a quick look at what happened on this day in history? You guys like that section. I like doing that section. Shall we have a quick look at it? What happened throughout the centuries on this day, the 26th of February? All right. Okay. On the 26th of February, in the year 1616, the Roman Inquisition delivers injunction to Galileo Galilei, demanding he abandon his belief in heliocentrism, which states the Earth and planets revolve around the Sun. I wrote an article about Galileo, the trial of Galileo once. Most people thought it was all right. You know, mildly interesting. Just restating the historical fact, largely. Bunch of Catholics got really annoyed with it. Trying to argue that the Inquisition never, ever tortured anyone or anything. That the pressure they put on Galileo was, they didn't really, or it was okay to do that or whatever. Because they never tortured Galileo. He was already an old man by that point. But they did show him the implements of his torture. And that made him change his mind. And then he was put under house arrest for the rest of his life. Not allowed to publish any more writings or anything. I'll make no apologies to 21st century Catholics that want to rewrite that bit of history. No. No. It is what it is. Matter of record, what happened to Galileo. All right. In 1797, Bank of England issues first £1 note. It's interesting, isn't it? Mildly interesting. The history of money is interesting, I find. On this day in 1815, the Corsican monster, one Napoleon Bonaparte, and his supporters leave the Isle of Elba to start a 100-day reconquest of France. Fascinating. Got lots and lots of long-form content all about the career of Bonaparte. Anyone doesn't know, he lost the campaign against Russia in 1812, spent the next year or more on one giant long retreat all the way back to Paris. The Russians and the Allies end up in Paris, watering their horses in the Seine. Napoleon finally gives in, abdicates. They put him in prison on the island of Elba, which is just in the Mediterranean. He's in prison there, quote-unquote prison. I mean... he was allowed to walk around. He wasn't in a cell. Well, they made him the Emperor of Elba. Tiny little island, tiny little rock in the sea. Well, a bit more than that, but... actually really picturesque. It'd be nice to go on holiday. I'd go on holiday to Elba happily. Anyway, he was made the Emperor of Elba. He had a tiny little guard. They even let him have a few soldiers still, just a few. Anyway, after a while, he escaped from there. And then, as it says, exactly as it says there, over the next 100 days, 3 months, however, mustered a whole new army and just started everything again. Went to Paris, reinstated himself as Emperor of the French, full-blown. So he had to be beaten again. And finally was on the field of Waterloo by the first Duke of Wellington's, Arthur Wellesley. And so that campaign, that one, the so-called 100 days, started on this day, 26th of February, in the year 1815. All right, in the year 1885, Berlin Conference gives Congo to Belgium and Nigeria to the United Kingdom. Yeah, didn't work out well, did it? That's not that. Even I'll say that's not good. That didn't benefit anyone, particularly people of the Congo. I mean, the British treated the people of Nigeria reasonably, I think. People of the King of Belgium didn't treat the people of Congo particularly well. On this day in 1935, radar, radio detection and ranging, is first demonstrated by Robert Watson Watt and Arnold Wilkins in Daventry, England. Yeah, great. It helped us win the Battle of Britain, didn't it? Five years later. Radar. Again, you're welcome. Just another piece of Anglo genius given to the world. You're welcome. All right, on this day in 1991, coalition planes bomb Iraqi forces retreating from Kuwait City, killing hundreds and creating the so-called Highway of Death during the Gulf War. Yeah, and there's a picture of it. I'm fascinated by the first Gulf War. Absolutely fascinated by it. It was one of the first things, well, I was only like 10 years old when it happened, but a few years afterwards, by the time I'm sort of 12, 13, 14, I was already fascinated by it. Reading Bravo to Zero when I was about 13 or 14 for the first time, which is a story of the SAS in the Gulf War, first Gulf War. And the whole story of it. Read quite a few books in and around it over the years, watched loads of documentaries. It's only a short war. It only lasted like 100 hours. It was very, very short. Sharp shock. Desert Storm. Storming Norman Schwarzkopf. Interesting, very, very interesting military history thing. But yeah, so Saddam had sent his army into Kuwait. Kuwait's a tiny little country right at the bottom of Iraq. Like this Kuwait city is Kuwait, almost. You know? How Luxembourg isn't much more than a city or, you know. All right, you get it. And it's very, very, very oil rich. And Saddam had run out of money, bankrupted himself, really, in a war with Iran. Anyway, he invaded Kuwait, just unilaterally invaded Kuwait City, sent his army in there. And then when George Bush Sr., Poppy, when he decided this aggression cannot stand, man, he had enough with that aggression. And so he sent in, build up a massive army in Saudi and in the region. Sent in the boys, sent in the army and the Marines. And the Brits were involved in it, of course. And a few others. Operation Desert Storm. And anyway, the Iraqi forces at some point, quite quickly, realised, well, they'd lost air superiority. They realised that it's time to just retreat from Kuwait. Because it's done, they're over, they've been tactically and strategically defeated. So they start all leaving Kuwait in one massive long caravan, a massive long train of vehicles, military and civilian. See it there? And the order came down from the Pentagon, destroy them. like Glovey from Yellow Submarine, destroy them! And so they did. And so the fast planes blew the hell out of everything that was on that road. The Highway of Death. Plenty of grisly pictures, if you're so inclined to look them up, of burnt up, blackened bodies. Highway of Death. There you go. That happened on this day in 1991. It's best to take the US military seriously if they say they're going to engage with you on a battlefield. It's best to take that seriously. Again, are they good at keeping the peace, winning the hearts and minds, fighting an insurgency guerrilla war? Not great, are they? But can their planes and artillery beat your planes and artillery? Yeah. Easily. Every time. Don't test them. It's the thing they do best, really, isn't it? It's what Tiggers do best. Precision ordnance from the sky. All right, on this day in 2005, President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, orders the constitution change to allow multi-candidate presidential elections, asking the Egyptian parliament to amend Article 76. Yeah. Mubarak thought he was a modern-day pharaoh, didn't he, really? He ruled Egypt from the early 80s through to the Egyptian spring in, like, what was that, 2011? 2010 or 11? When he was finally ousted. Not a good guy, not a great guy. He thought he was some sort of pharaoh, didn't he? Anyway, on the first big cracks in his regime started on this day in 2005. All right, that's the show. Let's look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, we've got one Rumble Rant from Rick TWGP, who says, nice suit. Oh, dig the threads. Cheers. Cheers. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's better to be more smart than not, right? I'd rather be accused of being overdressed than slovenly. I don't usually wear a pocket square. I don't want to go too far. I don't have like a tie pin. There's more things you could do, right, to be sort of dapper. I don't want to go too far. No, thanks. I appreciate that. Let's see the YouTube Super Chats. All right, here we go. Global Church History, first in again. Thank you, sir. He says, today in the year 364, it would be AD, Valentinian resigns. Reigns? Sorry. Valentinian reigns. I was going to say, I didn't think he resigned. He reigns. In the year 364, Valentinian reigns. Okay. Valentinian, a very, very important pivotal, one of the much more pivotal emperors. So moving into the period of decline there, really. It's only a generation or so. Well, it's the generation, isn't it, after Valentinian and Valens, when the Western Roman Empire, at least, really starts falling apart, doesn't it? Like Theodosius I and stuff, not long after that. Valentinian, one of the last really strong emperors, Western emperors. Okay. And you also say, in 1660, Janszoon finds Australia. Okay. Or is that New Zealand? I'm not sure. Never heard of Janszoon. Sorry. You've out-history nerded me there. You should be the history bro. Sorry, I've just never heard of Janszoon. All right. Luke Stewart says, good day, Bo. Oh, good day. Good day, mate. Oh, yeah. I hope you are doing well. Only way you could truly fix the NHS is if you had a Doge-style investigation and found where every penny went. Yeah. There needs to be an overhaul of the NHS. It has to happen. Sort of a profound one. It cannot go on the way it is indefinitely. It can't. And that's not just coming from a place of sort of anti-socialism. That's certainly not coming from a place of indifference to human suffering or anything. Quite the opposite, in fact. It cannot go on the way it is indefinitely. It will ruin the country. It will ruin our economy. It already is. It already is in the process of doing that, or has been for quite a long time. All right, Luke Stewart also says, on a white pill, if you haven't heard of this Valve beat, if you haven't heard of this Valve beat, the Rothschild in a law, the Rothschilds in a lawsuit. Apparently, the Rothschilds are known patent trolls. Okay, I didn't know that, but I can believe it. I can absolutely believe it. They're a covetous people, aren't they? The Rothschilds. Patent trolls. I didn't know, but I can believe that. That adds up. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'd strip them of their ennoblements. We don't need them in the House of Lords. Nathaniel Rothschild, the fifth Baron. The Lord Rothschild. Why? Why? Well, because some of your ancestors were able to get a hereditary peerage for whatever reason. Why have you still got one? No. Okay. Like Ballet says, starting my birthday off right by watching the only BBC that matters, hashtag the real BBC. Bo's Breakfast Club. Breakfast with Bo. Hashtag the real BBC. Thank you. Good. If I could help you start off a lovely birthday day, great. Happy birthday to you. Like Ballet, many happy returns. Okay, Mr. Gently Benevolent says, Uncle Bo, I'm concerned Uncle Bozy. That's what my actual niece and nephew used to call me when they were little. Uncle Bozy. Uncle Bo, I'm concerned about the amount of the amount of foreign you're using to promote this show on X. As the best spice, Carl, you need to set an example. No, fair enough. Yeah, rebuke accepted. I understand. Yesterday, I always retweet the show. Once they put it up on YouTube, shortly after it's finished. And I retweet it. Why not? Yesterday, I put, Guten Morgen, friend. I think, if I'm not wrong, Mr. Gently Benevolent replied under that on Twitter immediately, saying, ooh, bit foreign, bit German. Don't do that. Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. I take that on board. You're not wrong. Okay. A few more. Oh, a fair few more, actually. Quite a lot more. Okay, I'll whip through them because it's already 9:10. I'll whip through them a bit. Okay. Oh, there's a relatively large amount of money from Ezek86. Thank you very much. He says, I would support the reintroduction and retroactive use the old death penalty in extreme cases where there is absolutely no doubt. Now and then I come across cases where someone on death row has been proven innocent years later. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm pro death penalty, but in all seriousness, in all honesty, it must be reserved for cases where there is zero doubt, like where there's either footage or DNA evidence where there's just zero doubt. Because that axiom of, you know, about executing an innocent person, I do take that seriously. That would be bad if the state killed someone that was innocent. I get it. I understand that. So it would have to be reserved for when there's no doubt of the guilt of the person. Yeah. Okay. Global Church History says, find happy news sites to keep you and our spirits up. Yeah, could do. I would like to do more happier stories, more white pill stories. That's why I've got. But the mainstream, corporate mainstream media is filled with black pills, isn't it? Because that's what they do. That's who they are. That's how they get their clicks. But that is why I've got sort of the. Sometimes go to the Japanese stories occasionally. Or it's why I've got the science and space segments and On This Day in History segments, at least to end the show with. So it's not just black pill after black pill after black pill to the end of the show and then end on a black pill. Yeah, I get what you mean. Every now and again, I try and find something that's mildly funny, don't I? Mention that there's something, that some sort of white pill thing. But the mainstream media, particularly the print media, don't really do that much. And in fact, it is true that white pills don't do that well on the internet. Before now, at the beginning of Lotus Eaters, I tried to do a White Pill Wednesday, if anyone remembers the early days. I was the proponent of every Wednesday, try and do at least one White Pill segment a week, White Pill Wednesday. Turns out, even though some people in comments say, I love that, great, keep doing that, more White Pills if anything, you'll get comments saying like that. The fact is, it doesn't get very many clicks. It doesn't usually do very well. Most people want to click on misery and disaster. Most people don't click on White Pill stuff. Shame, isn't it? It's a window into our psyche. I like White Pill stuff, but the corporate mainstream media doesn't really go with it that often, and therefore the Bo Show isn't able to go with it all that often. But where I can, I try. I try. I take the point. I understand the point. All right, the Fenlander 1665 says, 1% margin of error like Cole's ancestry test. I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to there, but a funny comment nonetheless. I won't go into my ancestry things. I could talk about that for a while, but it's not today. It's already quarter past. Okay. Principal Duncertainty says, I'm opposed to the death penalty. It's an easy out. Heinous crime, full life in solitary, no easy exit. I understand that. I mean, I understand that. Some say that a life in prison, if it's a bad prison, is a fate worse than death. I understand that. Like being in that that Colorado maximum security one in America, Supermax thing in Florence, Colorado, where you are kept in the cell, the very small cell, 23 hours a day, and even when you do get your 1 hour exercise, you're still in a slightly larger cell, effectively. Like that sort of imprisonment. Yeah, that kind of is a fate worse than death, isn't it? So I see what you mean. But I actually think, and I don't entirely disagree with you, I don't. But still, morally, I feel like, all right, could talk about it. I think we did a round table on it once, or if we didn't, did we? I can't remember. Maybe we should do another round table about it. Okay. Zajutes 149 says, one advantage of getting rid of juries is that you can put 100% of the blame on the judge and prosecution in case of a wrongful conviction. That's true. You'll be able to winkle out terrible judges more easily to get rid of them when the reckoning comes, when we have to clear out our judiciary of traitors who have let paedophiles go and imprison someone like Sam Mellier for not doing anything wrong. We'll be able to identify those much more easily, won't we? Yeah, good point. Okay. Opening Doors 1 says, bring back the comfy chair. Do you mean in our second studio where we've got much more comfy chairs? We've never had the comfy chairs in this studio. But, the chairs we have got are getting a bit battered and old now, and they're not that comfortable. Soon we should get a chair overhaul in this studio. I'm gonna push for much more comfy chairs. I think everyone wants them, actually. All right, bring back the comfy chair. All right, Mr. Dicky Bingo says, "Act like a rabid dog should be treated as such." Quite. Yeah, I agree, sir. I agree. Yeah. Put down for the good of the common weal. Doomguy 1977 says, remember Ruth Ellis and what she went through. Ruth Ellis. Why does that name ring a bell? I can't remember. That totally rings a bell. It's familiar to me. Ruth Ellis. Remember Ruth Ellis and what she went through. I'm sorry. I can't immediately remember Ruth Ellis's story. It totally rings a bell. It's familiar to me. Ah, oh, sort of right on the tip of my mind. Sorry, I can't remember. Another relatively large amount from Stephen Welsh says, morning, Mr. Dade. You always sound bunged up. No, I've just got a bit. I am often bunged up, but also I've just got a bit of a nasally voice. It's a little bit of a high-pitched, nasally Essex voice. Sorry. You always sound a bit bunged up. You may need to see someone about your sinuses. I have had sinusitis before. Some of the worst pain, arguably the worst pain I was ever in my life, was sinusitis. Sinusitis is no joke. If you know someone that's complaining about sinusitis, or they're not at work because they've got sinusitis. It's real. It felt like there was something in my head trying to burrow out of my head. It was excruciating pain. I thought I might have a brain tumour. It was terrible. Anyway, might see someone about your sinuses. Also, I'm not keen on people calling low our Trump. Okay. Trump is too American, comes with negative baggage. Low is unique to Britain. Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Yeah, no, I understand that. I can see that. Yeah, not going to disagree with you. Not going to disagree with you. Yeah. Roe is low. Obi low. Lobi One Kenobi. Prince Rupert is much more urbane and erudite than Trump, isn't he? Much more. He's basically a gentleman, isn't he? Low. Can't really say that about Trump. He's like a New York... He's a New York wise guy, isn't he, Trump? Rupert's a gentleman. Yep, I couldn't disagree with you then. Principal Duncertainty says, to clarify, we deliberately kept Brady alive so he wouldn't get an easy out. Oh, the Moors killers. The Moors killer. Ian Brady. Right, yeah. Why should the state pay for him for decades, though? Why should we all pay for his meals and upkeep, though? Although I see the point. I don't 100% disagree with your point or what you're saying. They all try and noose themselves. We'd be helping them escape consequences. A life in a box, no visits. I get it. I do see that certain types of prison... Because the thing is, you might have a whole life order or a life without parole, but in a relatively easy prison where you just get to watch TV all day and play pool and have nice meals and read books and do art all day. Like, is that a fate worse than death? No, that isn't. That's not too bad in the scheme of things. If it's you're just in a cell, a tiny cell, there's not even a window, or the window's so high you can't see anything other than an empty sky. Like, that is a fate worse than death. It depends what prison. Don't disagree with your overall point, though. Okay. CWYE says, consider an episode on the transatlantic Anglo-American relationship from the Revolution to the World Wars. Lots of innovation and exchange of ideas. Yeah, okay. I mean, I have made some content around that sort of thing before. Not exactly that, but I've made content, more content on History Bro, my own history channel, History Bro. It's free. It's entirely free there. Got some long form stuff with Benjamin Boyce. You know Benjamin Boyce? Great chap. Privileged to call him my friend. About some of the founding fathers and people a bit later. One about Ulysses S. Grant. Going to do one about Teddy Roosevelt soon. So there's a bit out there, but could do a whole thing just about the Anglo-American relationship from the Revolution to the World Wars. That would be a sweeping one. Sometimes I do sweeping ones. Okay, good shout. August Sidling says, I've always been torn on Nadia's win. All of the judges' reactions seemed pretty authentic. But the final challenge... is called a showstopper, and hers kind of just looked boring, so I've never been able to decide. Are we talking about that, the bake-off hijabi woman, Nadia Hussein? You're questioning whether she... And thanks for the half-decent amount of money as well there. Thank you. You're questioning her original bake-off win, whether she deserved it. It probably didn't. I think I watched it. Because I watched like the first season or two of Bake Off. I was forced to by the girlfriend I was with at the time. I think I watched that one. Nothing special. As soon as I didn't have to watch that programme anymore, I'm just not watching it ever again. Why would I? People making cakes. It's a bit banal, isn't it? Why do I want to watch someone baking a cake? How is that interesting? I don't get it. Oh, I haven't put enough yeast in. It hasn't quite risen enough. So? Oh, look, I've made some muffins. So? It's of no value, is it? All right. Last two. Azzy 0161 says, will you do more Formula One content? Love you, Bo. Love you. Love you right back, buddy. Will I do more Formula One content? Maybe. Little Harry's doing a double fist pump. Harry's racer. Harry loves racing. Maybe, yeah. I considered doing a whole long form episode all about the last race in 2001. Harry's also loving that. When Sir Lewis was robbed of the championship. I'm not even a fan of Lewis Hamilton, but he was robbed on that day. Robbed. I would be inclined to make more racing content. But since I've already done it once, I'm disinclined to revisit the exact same thing again. But I could find another angle. Yeah, I might do it. People like it. It's quite niche. A lot of people don't like racing. But anyway, I love it. I won't rule it out. Certainly won't rule it out. Okay. And the last one for today, Luke Stewart says, I loved your Good News Wednesday, Whitepool Wednesday. That's why I try to give out some when I can. Brilliant, yeah. It's nice, isn't it, to have something positive and uplifting. It's nice to have it. All right, that's the show. It has now just ticked past 25 minutes past 9. Nearly 50% extra this morning for free. Don't say I'm not generous. Just ticked 25 minutes past 9. Greenwich Mean Time. On Thursday, 26th of February, in the year of our Lord 2026, you have been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Okay, try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. You've only got it once. It's later than you think in your life. It's almost certainly later than you think. You've only got a finite number of days. When you're young, anyway, you think you've got endless number of days to just fritter away. Doesn't matter. I won't do anything today. I'll just watch TV and sleep for a bit, play computer. No. Make it count if you can. Do make it count. I know it's not always possible, but if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. All right then, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.